Imagine, you ask a question, and before your AI types a single word on the screen, it silently pulls up this like hidden internal chalkboard.
Right.
It draws a spider, it crosses it out, it draws an ant, and then only then it finally answers you. That hidden chalkboard is completely real.
Yeah, it's actually called the J space. Researchers just discovered it, and I mean, it fundamentally changes everything we thought we knew about how these systems actually think.
It's wild. And welcome to the deep dive. We have a massive stack of sources today. It's this highly curated bundle of research notes, blog drafts, and some raw insider insights from an AI industry expert.
Yeah, and what's remarkable is that this J-space discovery, it's really just one piece of an absolutely explosive 2-week window. I mean, just this July 2026, we saw five major frontier AI models launch back to back.
Back to back. It's completely redefining the technical landscape. Our mission today is to cut through all that noise. We are skipping the endless benchmark scores, the leaderboards, to figure out what these rapid advancements actually mean for you.
Right, because today is about looking past the headlines.
Yeah.
We really need to understand the mechanisms.
Exactly. Like how you'll work, how you'll code, how you will interact with technology every single day.
Yeah, we're exploring how AI is not just getting exponentially faster and, frankly, drastically cheaper, but how it's being deeply embedded into the apps you probably already have open on your phone right now.
The sheer velocity of the last 14 days is staggering. I mean, we are officially witnessing the death of this simple chatbot, the one that just sits there waiting for your prompt.
Oh, absolutely. The chatbot is dead.
We're moving into this era of highly autonomous agents, voice models that can handle you interrupting them perfectly, and a global compute race that is just defying all the standard hardware assumptions. Okay, let's unpack this.
Let's do it.
Because I was looking through the notes on xAI's Grok 4.5, and I was genuinely surprised. I expected them to just push for a smarter, faster conversational model,
Sure,
right?
that's what most people expected.
But they essentially built a specialized digital employee that lives inside your code editor.
Yeah, and that is exactly the philosophical shift we are seeing across the board right now. I mean, xAI didn't build Grok 4.5 for chatting.
Right.
They co-trained it specifically with Cursor.
And for those listening who don't know, Cursor is a heavily used AI code editor.
Exactly. So they fed it real engineering data. They built it to manage long agentic tasks.
Which means it's doing actual workflows. Like, if you tell an agent to build a login page, it doesn't just, spit out a block of text for you to copy and paste.
Right. It doesn't just say, here's the code.
Yeah. It opens a file, it writes the code, tries to run it, gets a database error, actually reads the error, opens a different file, fixes the dependency, and tries again, all on its own.
Precisely. And xAI managed to achieve performance that benchmarks close to Anthropic's Opus 4.7.
Which is a huge model.
Right. But they did it at a fraction of the cost. You're looking at $2 per million input tokens and $6 per million output.
That is. Wow, that completely flips the script on how developers budget for API costs.
Oh, totally.
Especially when you look at what Anthropic is doing simultaneously. They just made Claude Sonnet 5 the default model for all their free and pro users.
Yeah, Sonnet 5 is a big deal.
It's pulling in a 63.2% on the SWE Bench Pro, which the notes mention is a brutally difficult software engineering benchmark.
It is. But what's really interesting is that early testers don't even care about that score.
Wait, really? Why not?
Because the big deal isn't the number. It's that Sonnet 5 actually finishes complex tasks without giving up halfway through. It possesses the sort of algorithmic stamina that older models lacked.
Oh, I hate when the older models just stop and say, you can do the rest yourself.
Exactly. And because it sits at a lower price point than Anthropic's premium Opus models, developers are adopting incredibly clever new architectures to maximize efficiency.
Like the advisor pattern.
Yes, the advisor pattern is the most prominent one right now.
If you're building an app right now, this pattern makes so much sense. You basically hire a cheap intern model to do the typing and a senior engineer model to review it.
That is a perfect way to visualize it, yeah. In the advisor pattern, you use the cheaper, highly capable Sonnet 5 as your primary worker. It grinds through the bulk of the
The
execution.
intern grinding away.
Exactly. But you pair it with the much more expensive high-tier Fable 5 model, which acts as the senior advisor.
So the intern only bothers the senior engineer when it's really important.
Right. Sonnet 5 only wakes up Fable 5 rarely, purely for high-level guidance or course correction. By doing this, engineering teams are hitting about 92% of Fable 5's solo quality.
But they aren't paying Fable 5 prices.
No, they were only paying roughly 63% of the cost.
Okay, I have to push back on this a little bit.
Sure.
Because if these frontier models like Fable 5 or even Grok 4.5, if they're supposed to be generally brilliant at everything, why do we need specialized coding models or elaborate intern advisor setups? I mean, isn't a smart brain just a smart brain? Can't you just ask the smartest model to do the job?
Well, it comes down to workflow optimization and token efficiency. Being a good programmer isn't just about knowing Python syntax. It's about context navigation. When an AI looks at a multi-file repository, it has to decide which files to read, which folders to ignore, and how to track variables across, you know, thousands of lines of code.
Oh, so it's searching through the mess.
Yeah. And if you use a general smart brain for that, it might read unnecessary files, using up twice as many tokens to find the answer. A specialized model is fine-tuned to navigate that specific environment natively. It knows the shortcuts.
It knows the terrain, so it takes the shortcut, which ultimately saves you money.
Exactly.
But this drive to squeeze every ounce of efficiency out of a model, it isn't just about saving money on tokens. It's actually rewriting the rules of the global hardware race.
That is the bigger picture here.
Because the assumption has always been that you need the absolute best hardware to play the game, right? But that's changing.
Yes. The focus on efficiency is fundamentally altering how and where models are trained. A prime example from the sources is Cognition's SWE 1.7.
Cognition, the American lab, the team behind the Windsurf editor.
Right. They just achieved near-frontier coding capabilities, landing right near Opus 4.8 and GPT 5.5 territory.
Which is incredible.
It is. But here's the catch. They didn't train their model from scratch. They fine-tuned a Chinese open-weight-based model called Kimi K 2.7 using reinforcement learning.
And it runs at a blazing 1,000 tokens per second. The subtext here is just fascinating to me. An American lab took a Chinese base model and used it as their foundation simply because it was that good and that cheap to start from.
It really shows how fluid the talent pool is right now. It's not restricted by borders.
Not at all. And there was another story buried in the source notes that proves this point even further. It was regarding a massive 1 trillion parameter Chinese model.
Yeah, this story was somewhat eclipsed by all the consumer product launches, but technically speaking, it is incredibly significant.
Walk me through it.
So this 1 trillion parameter model was reportedly trained start to finish entirely on domestic Chinese chips.
Wow.
Yeah, it was a grueling 3-year optimization effort that began way back in 2023.
Okay, hold on. We need to pause on that. Haven't we always been told there is a rigid hardware wall?
That's the narrative, yes.
The prevailing narrative for years is that if you don't have access to the absolute latest top-tier NVIDIA GPUs, you are completely locked out of the AI race, period. How does a team physically build a 1 trillion parameter model on older domestic hardware?
Well, if we connect this to the bigger picture, it shows us that the compute gap is actually a solvable engineering problem.
Solvable how?
The real bottleneck when training a massive model isn't just the raw speed of a single chip. It's how quickly thousands of chips can talk to each other to share data.
The networking.
Exactly. Older chips have much slower network bandwidth. To get around this, the engineers had to write incredibly complex custom networking software to manage the memory allocation perfectly.
So they basically had to micromanage the traffic between the chips?
Yes. They had to stitch thousands of slower chips together. So they acted like one giant cohesive brain without bottlenecking or crashing.
So they essentially swapped a hardware problem for a software problem.
That's a great way to put it.
Instead of buying a faster engine, they spent 3 years writing better code to make 1,000 slow engines work in perfect harmony.
Precisely. The hardware wall is really more like a highly steep hill.
Yeah, if you're willing to grind, you can climb it.
Exactly. The fact that American labs are building on top of Chinese open-weight models and Chinese labs are finding ways to bypass hardware restrictions, it just shows that the flow of global innovation is far more fluid than strict hardware narratives suggest.
But this fluid, borderless exchange of open-weight models hit a hard brick wall this month.
It did.
When models become this efficient and teams find ways to work around hardware constraints, governments start paying very close attention. And that led to a literal 15-day blackout.
Right. For 15 days, the U.S. Department of Commerce placed an export block on Anthropic's Claude Fable 5, as well as Mythos 5, which is their cybersecurity model.
They were just legally unavailable. And real quick, just a heads up for you listening. We're diving into some raw Commerce Department export bans here. As always on the Deep Dive, we aren't taking a political stance. We aren't backing the government's views or the tech company's PR. We're strictly mapping out the factual events from the sources and looking at how this regulatory tug of war actually impacts the tools you use.
Right. And the factual outcome is that after 15 days, the export controls were lifted and the models are back online, but with updated mandated cybersecurity safeguards.
What does that mean for the end user?
Well, Anthropic has been very upfront that while they tune these new security classifiers, some completely harmless coding and debugging requests might temporarily be routed to an older model, like Opus 4.8, just to be safe.
It's wild to think that one of the best AI models in the world was just taken offline for 2 weeks over an export dispute.
It is wild.
But this intense government scrutiny is exactly why Anthropic's recent interpretability research is so vital. And here's where it gets really interesting. They've discovered something inside the neural network they're calling the J-space.
Yes, the Jacobian space. This is a newly identified small set of internal neural activations inside Claude.
The hidden chalkboard we talked about at the beginning.
Exactly. It functions like a hidden internal workspace where the model quietly represents and broadcasts mathematical concepts before it ever generates a word of text.
This is entirely distinct from the chain of thought text that you actually see the AI typing out on your screen.
Completely distinct, yes.
The example in the notes blew my mind. If you ask Claude a question about an animal with 8 legs, researchers can literally look into this J space and see the mathematical weights lighting up to represent the concept spider silently.
Yeah, it's mapping out the idea.
And if the researchers manually go in and tweak those internal weights, swapping the concept from spider to ant, Claude will suddenly output the number 6 on the screen.
It is a profound technical window.
Mm-hmm.
For years, these models have been treated as black boxes. Data goes in, text comes out, and we don't really know what happens in the middle.
Just a big mystery.
Right. But with the J space, we are literally watching the model process and map ideas beneath the surface of its generated text.
So wait, if a model has a hidden workspace that is distinct from its visible chain of thought, does that mean the AI can essentially lie to us? Like it has a poker face?
Well,
like it can show us one perfectly logical thought process on the screen while internally relying on a completely different set of concepts to reach its conclusion.
This raises an important question, but we need to be very careful not to anthropomorphize the model here.
Okay, fair.
The J-space isn't proof of consciousness, and it doesn't indicate deceptive intent or malicious lying. The model isn't scheming.
It's not out to get us.
Right. However, it does mean that a model's stated text reasoning might not always match the actual mathematical weights that drove its answer.
That's a bit unsettling.
It's definitely something to watch. And understanding this inner machinery is vital exactly because regulators are heavily scrutinizing these systems. If critical infrastructure is going to rely on AI, we need interpretability tooling like this to verify that what the model says it's doing mathematically matches what it's actually doing computationally.
So we have models doing deep, multi-step agentic tasks to save money, and they have this hidden J space where they are mapping out concepts internally.
Yes.
That sounds incredibly powerful, but it also sounds like a recipe for absolute chaos when an autonomous agent inevitably misunderstands an instruction. Developers desperately need better tools to ring them in.
Which is exactly why Stanford's release of Shepard is gaining so much traction right now.
Yeah.
Shepard is a new runtime tool. You can think of it as Git version control, but for live agent runs.
Okay, anyone who plays difficult video games knows about save scumming.
Oh.
You save your game right outside the boss room. That way, if you walk in and immediately die, you don't have to replay the entire 3-hour level just to try again. You just load your save. Shepard is essentially save scumming for AI agents.
That analogy perfectly captures the utility. Normally, if an AI agent is working on a complex coding task and it makes a critical error at step 10, your only options are to let it try to blindly fix its own mess.
Which rarely works.
Almost never works, yeah. Or you have to restart the entire task from step 1.
And restarting wastes a tremendous amount of time and racks up those API costs we discussed earlier.
Exactly. Shepard changes this. Instead of just saving a text log of what the agent said, it takes a perfect snapshot of the full live state. It saves the files, the running computer processes, and the KV cache.
The KV cache being the model's short-term memory.
Exactly. And I really want to emphasize the technical marvel here for our listeners. Saving a simple text file is easy, but perfectly freezing a live running computer process along with the AI's internal RAM and memory state and allowing you to instantly boot that back up.
That sounds impossible.
It is fundamentally difficult. It means capturing the exact state of the processor at a millisecond in time.
So if the agent ruins the task at step 10, the developer can instantly roll the agent back to step 8, where things were still good, and just resume from there with all the memory intact.
Yes. In testing, adding this live rollback capability raised a pair coding benchmark pass rate from a mere 28.8% to 54.7%.
That is a massive jump.
It is a massive leap forward for making AI applications reliable enough for enterprise use.
And speaking of reliability, there's another tool tackling a very different kind of chaos, PixelRag. This is a retrieval tool that completely changes how AI reads websites.
Right, because usually when an AI reads a web page, it parses the underlying HTML code.
But that often mangles the data. HTML is a mess, right? You pull a table from Wikipedia and it looks like garbage in text.
Exactly. HTML parsing is notoriously lossy. When you look at a website, your browser renders a visual layout. But when an AI reads the HTML DOM tree, complex tables, sidebars, and charts often just fall apart when reduced to plain text.
The structure is just gone.
Gone, meaning the AI misses crucial information. PixelRag takes a radically different approach. It simply takes a screenshot of the web page and uses a vision model to read the pixels, exactly the same way a human reads a screen.
It's so elegant. Just stop trying to read the code. Just look at the picture.
Yeah.
And because it avoids the HTML parser entirely, it prevents that data loss. The notes mention that on a massive index of Wikipedia screenshots, this visual approach beat the strongest text-based retrieval baseline by 18.1%.
By treating the AI more like a human observer with vision rather than a text parsing machine, the reliability of data extraction just skyrockets.
So what does this all mean for you? If we pull back the lens here, all these wild developer tools, the internal JSpace mechanics, the optimization tricks, they are ultimately building towards something that ends up in your pocket. Let's look at how these breakthroughs are reaching consumers right now, starting with OpenAI's GPT Live.
GPT Live represents a total paradigm shift in how we interact with AI globally. It is a full duplex voice model.
Full duplex. This means it can listen and talk simultaneously.
Yes.
No more walkie-talkie mode. You know when you used to talk to AI and there was that weird 2-second delay? You don't have to politely wait for it to finish a long rambling sentence before you can jump in anymore.
Right. It handles human interruptions perfectly, adjusting its response mid-sentence.
And it can even quietly delegate a hard math question to a frontier reasoning model in the background, then bring the answer back into your conversation seamlessly.
It's incredibly smooth.
The notes point out that Sam Altman, who has famously said for years that he prefers typing to talking to AI, said this specific model changed his mind.
And when the CEO of the company changes his personal habits because of a new feature, that's a very strong market signal.
Yeah.
And we're seeing this seamless integration elsewhere, too. Meta Superintelligence Labs just rolled out Muse Image and Muse Video. These are arriving directly on WhatsApp and Instagram.
Which begs the question, do we really need another image generator? I mean, haven't we seen a million of these prompt boxes over the last few years? What makes Muse different?
Well, what's fascinating here is that Muse Image isn't just a prompt box. It acts as an autonomous agent.
Okay.
If you ask it to generate an image of a real landmark, it doesn't just guess based on its training data. It will actively search the web to ensure its generation is factually accurate.
Wow. So it fact checks its own art.
Yes. It can even write and execute code in the background to generate a working scannable QR code embedded within the image. But to answer your question, the real story isn't the image generator itself. It's the zero friction distribution.
Because it's in WhatsApp, it's already where the users are.
Precisely. The winner of the AI race isn't necessarily the smartest standalone model. It's the one embedded in the app you already have open.
That makes total sense.
By putting a fact-checking agentic image generator directly inside WhatsApp, Meta is ensuring that billions of people will interact with frontier-level AI without ever needing to download a new app or even know what the term AI model means.
It just becomes as normal as sending an emoji.
Exactly.
And that invisible integration is happening everywhere. Google just dropped Nano Banana 2 Lite paired with Gemini OmniFlash.
Yeah, that's a huge one.
Nano Banana can generate an image in under 4 seconds for a fraction of a cent. And then OmniFlash can instantly animate that still image into a video. And because it's so incredibly cheap and fast to run, Google is quietly embedding it into products you already use, like Google Photos.
It's the true democratization of high-end compute. We spent the first half of this deep dive talking about massive trillion parameter models, but the end result is a fraction of a cent model animating your family photos instantly.
And this shift isn't limited to software. Weave Robotics just opened actual pre-orders for the Isaac One home robot, with deliveries promised this fall.
That's right.
For years, home robots have been nothing but sleek concept videos and, you know, someday promises. The fact that a company is confident enough to open an actual order page, taking actual money, is highly notable.
It's finally leaving the lab and entering the living room.
And even in the financial sector, the friction is vanishing. Robinhood just launched its own Ethereum Layer 2 blockchain, Robinhood Chain, along with an earn product that brings an estimated 7% APY on-chain finance to everyday retail users.
And again, the underlying blockchain technology isn't the main point there. The audience is. Millions of people who have never directly touched crypto, who would never set up a digital wallet or manage private keys, they are now being introduced to on-chain finance through a mainstream brokerage app they already trust.
The complexity is entirely hidden.
Entirely.
It really feels like we are crossing a major threshold. Let's recap what we've unpacked today. Over just a 14-day window, we've seen the foundational layer of technology shift. AI is becoming incredibly cheap, allowing it to be embedded everywhere. It is becoming highly autonomous, finishing complex coding tasks and self-correcting through agentic loops without human handholding. We're seeing a truly global, competitive landscape where the old rules about hardware monopolies are being rewritten by sheer engineering grit and custom networking.
And most importantly, AI is finally moving out of those clunky text chat boxes and into our voices, our code bases, and our everyday apps in ways that feel entirely natural.
The velocity of change is undeniably accelerating.
It is. But before we wrap up, I want to leave you with a final lingering thought.
Okay.
We talked earlier about Anthropic's discovery of the J-space, that hidden internal workspace where models like Claude quietly represent concepts mathematically before ever generating human text.
The silent chalkboard, yeah.
And we also talked about Stanford Shepherd, a tool that can perfectly capture and snapshot a model's live running state, including its internal memory.
Two massive breakthroughs on their own.
Indeed. So imagine combining those two concepts.
Oh, wow. Okay.
What happens when we start networking these models together, not by having them type text back and forth to each other, but by connecting them purely through their internal workspaces?
By connecting their J spaces.
Exactly. Could the next evolution of AI be systems that communicate instantaneously through raw mathematical concepts? We could be looking at the creation of an internet of silent machine thought. Systems collaborating at light speed, bypassing human language entirely in a way we can't even eavesdrop on.
From the J-space chalkboard to an entire invisible network of silent machine thought, perfectly coordinating complex tasks before we even hit the enter key.
It's a real possibility.
That is definitely something to chew on. Thank you so much for joining us on this deep dive. If any of the tools we talked about today caught your ear, from GPT Live to Cursor to Google Photos, go explore them. You don't need a supercomputer to use them. They are likely already in your pocket. The future is literally in your hands. We'll catch you next time.